Welcome back to part two of today's Corolla Classics. We're going to jump back to 2013 and hear another clip, this one about Monica Lewinsky.
This was during the time they were debating, you know, Anthony Weiner and his name and the pronunciation. And Adam had a hypothetical, what if Monica Lewinsky just had a different last name that happened to be very similar to something she's famous for? It's a crazy episode. Adam Carolla Show, 11:30, Paul Scheer, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop, July of 2013. Hope you guys enjoy.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison, Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison, Allison.
So Anthony Weiner's campaign manager has now quit, but Weiner is evidently still in the race for mayor. This whole thing, the fact that he's still sexting and sending photos of his junk, came out while when we got back from New York, but we haven't been in this is the first time we're back in the studio since
right.
this happened. Are
right.
you up on the whole story, Adam?
Yeah, I was laughing when Dr. Drew and I were doing our podcast together because I said, if I were Anthony Weiner, the beginning of every press conference I ever had from this day on would start with, by the way, it's Weiner. It's always yeah. been Weiner. I was always called, it's pronounced Weiner. It's a German name. It is not Weiner. It's Weiner. So please, if you could get it right, because I said to Drew, which made him laugh quite a bit, I said, imagine if Monica Lewinsky's last name was Chugscock. Do you think she would go, no, it's a French name. It's called Chugscock. It is not Chugscock. Why not just call it Weiner?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's too late in the game, but it's
no, because he's a man of integrity.
By changing his name to Carlos Danger. He just went too extreme.
Right.
he just took it a little bit too far. Here's my issue with this. What's the big deal about sexting and being a mayor? Is that really
being married?
I mean, look, she's been along for the ride. I mean, I feel like
he said sexting and being a mayor, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, is that
being a mayor?
I'm really going back and forth on Weiner because
yeah, you are. See, Weiner saved us all a lot of grief.
Because on the one hand, I agree with you that why does it really matter? And yet, he seems so lecherous to me. There's something about, like, I feel like I'm trying to be open-minded
right.
about it, but I look at him and this is such a distraction at this point. And there just seems to be something so reckless and almost predatory.
But we come from a world where, like, you know, you go like JFK and Clinton, where these men definitely have had affairs and with all sorts of different type of women, and they were in much higher power.
Well, see, at one point I was thinking, you know, he didn't actually have physical affairs with these women.
Exactly.
However, this, for some reason, feels more like he's like a flasher or
something.
It's
creepier.
It's
like,
creepier.
If you said he slept with a woman, it would be like, oh, that's a bad thing. But sexting is like, ew, it's gross.
Yeah.
It seems like...
Well, it's all of the sort of potential negative baggage of an affair without the cum shot.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, I'm going to risk it all for nothing. If that's what I don't, that's what I like.
Well, it suggests that what he gets off on is this virtual sex.
Right. Oh. So for me, a couple things. you know, guys can, first off, I'm starting to realize that being a mayor or governor, or lieutenant governor, or even the president, starting to realize I don't think there's that much involved with the gig anymore. Like, I just feel like all these guys are doing is either campaigning, playing golf, visiting another country, going to a funeral, hang out with an ambassador. And it just, I think we're at the point where the country just sort of runs itself. I mean, Los Angeles had a semi-retarded mayor for like 11 years and it just kind of ran. Like, it just kind of, I mean, does anyone think the mayor of Los Angeles was out, like, burning the midnight oil, drafting up documents and legislation?
All you do is cross your fingers that no natural disaster happens and that's it.
Because
I think it's the only time when you are really tested as like a mayor.
Yeah, because the rest of the time he's fucking a reporter or he's out of the country or whatever he is.
I mean,
literally, our mayor worked like 14% of the time. Like, he worked like an hour and 11 minutes a day.
That's generous.
The LA mayor one time was at an event and he came out and his opening line was, and very sincerely, like, this is very important to me. Tonight, I actually did not go and work out. I normally work out, and I came here instead because you mean that much to me. I was like, wait, and it was not a joke. It was like he was being sincere. He was like, you're telling me that you came to this event and you – you didn't work out today? Like, that's...
So, my feeling is, A, I don't know how much we need these guys. I know good mayors can make a difference, but I think everyone else just kind of... It's like, I'm going to put this ship on autopilot. You sit up here and try not to get drunk, and we'll see if we can get through this. And so, that's one side. The other side... The decision making in impulse control scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Clinton, and to some degree, and for sure, like with the Kennedy situation, in the Kennedy era, it was understood. That's what you did. You're almost an outsider if you weren't banging an intern. Number one, you'd be frowned upon, you know, with the press when you guys went out for highballs after that. And so there was an element of he knew he could get away with it, so thus he did. Now you have to know you're not going to get away with it, and you have to sort of, it's like back in the day when a guy would rob a bank and a cop car would come behind him in the 30s and the banjo music would fire up and he'd turn down the dirt road. You're like, oh, that guy's trying to outrun that cop.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Now there's a helicopter in the air and there's a guy talking to a guy that's five cities in front of you and he's putting out a tax strip and stuff. Now if you run from the cops, you're fucking nuts because there's just no possible way because there's a helicopter and there's a radio. So technology's basically said you can't unrun. So back then when the guy would run from the cop, I'd go, maybe he can make it.
Yeah.
Now I go, he's insane.
Right, he'll get caught.
So when Kennedy fucks an intern, I go, maybe he can get away with it. When Wiener is texting pictures of his cock, you're like, well, now he's insane.
Well, yeah, and doing really it curious. Again.
Right.
Like, that's the thing that's the most upsetting.
Oh, yeah, because he was leading
in
the polls. I think that people were willing to give him another chance. It's just now it's like, I don't know. It does seem self-destructive. And Sydney Leathers, who's the woman with whom he was sexting most recently, she gave an interview and she said that he didn't really seem to be going that far to protect himself.
It's,
like, he had asked
Leathers.
Her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I want a reality show between his wife, Wiener's wife, and Huma. What is that house like? What is going on there? That is a tense environment.
In that press conference, she looked like she wanted to kill him, even though she's saying she's.
And she looked like she wanted to kill him 6 months ago when he did it the last time or whenever it was.
Oh, here's the reality show. We get her together with. Oh, shit. Remember that teacher that was getting it on with her, like, 13-year-old?
Mary Kay Letourneau?
Mary Kay Letourneau. Yeah, we get, like, Mary Kay Letourneau's. No, her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Because that motherfucker had to move to Alaska. Like, you're literally living in this town with your four kids, and your wife is dating the 14-year-old Samoan kid, and then they're like, then she goes to jail, then she, like, gets out and goes, we're still getting back together, and stuff. Yeah. Like, you have to move.
Yeah.
The humiliation factor on the cuckolding that's going on is off
keeping
the fucking...
Keeping up with the cuckolds.
That's right.
Because if you're in the same town, you're going to run into those two going to, like, Chuck E. Cheese on a date.
Well, that's right. I always think about, like, what happens to those people on YouTube that have, like, those memes that go on, like the grape stomp lady or something like that. Like, the grape stomp lady cannot be hired again. Like, you know, she just went down, fell off that bottle of grapes. Like,
right.
You can never, if you Google that person, like, oh, that's it. My career is over. You have to go to Alaska.
You know, the guy I feel sorry for is the guy who bangs the grape stomp lady, after she's recovered fully. But he's just banging away and he's balls deep and he's going hard and she's like, it's okay. And nothing. Feels good. It feels good, but I don't hear anything coming out of you. Like, I told you it felt good.
I've done this before, and I usually
I saw the YouTube thing of you just fucking squealing for 20 minutes straight. Yeah, no, it feels good. I said it felt good. Nothing? Let me speed up a little bit. Yeah, now I'm starting to chafe. But no noise.
Never will give you that grape stomp reaction.
I want that grape stomp reaction. As the next guy has sex with, that's what you fucking want. All right.
So I went on Geraldo last night. There was a panel to talk about the Wiener thing, and it was.
Oh yeah, I heard. I think somebody tweeted.
Did you check out
that.
His pecs, Geraldo? Didn't he take that picture?
Yes, he did. Yes. And I didn't say. I kept wondering, like, can I mention this? It seems apropos.
He took the picture of himself.
He really did. He took it down though.
Oh, yeah.
There's the photo. I don't know if you saw this. Geraldo tweeted a photo of himself.
I beat off to it.
Same.
I don't like that when it gets so dangerously close to crotch. Like when you, when you
right.
start to see where the
we
lines
know a
are
lot
going.
About his grooming yeah. right now.
Right.
He said 70s. I had no idea he was 70. 70 is the new 50. Then he took it down, but he said that he had had too much tequila. That's why he posted it.
I feel like
it.
He's been annoying people for a long time. I mean, like the vault, Al Capone's vault.
Oh, remember I remember that? Watching that.
That was like 25 years ago.
Yeah, right. He did that.
Yeah. I ran into him. It was a weird thing, but talking about wives and sexting and all that kind of stuff. I did the Tonight Show when he was on the Tonight Show, and I think he said to me, like, hey, how's Dancing with the Stars or something? And I said, that's fine. You know, it's kind of a pain in the ass, but it's interesting, you know? And he said, yeah, wife won't let me do it. And I was like, well, why don't your wife? You want to do it? Why don't you? No, she thinks I'll get caught up with one of the ladies or something. And he kind of gave me like, she may be right. Like, like he just basically
he's on double secret probation?
Yeah. He just sort of said, there's no way I'm going to grind on some hot blonde's hip for 5 hours a day without something happening. Like, I'm a man of passion. Right. Like, this is.
See,
this,
he should run for New York mayor. He has impulse control.
That's so interesting. I'm realizing that because almost every time I've done Geraldo, it's been to talk about some kind of sex scandal.
He's got it bad for you, baby. Yeah. There's some guys that are wired, and I'm guessing Geraldo is, in a way that's like, if you're going to come up and grind your pelvis against them for 4.5 hours a day, shit's going to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
that's just how they are. They're passion infused. Yes.
So anyway, let me tell you about the most surreal experience ever. It was me, Marion Barry, who was there to talk about, being a disgraced politician. Yeah. Gail Haggard, wife of Pastor Ted Haggard.
Oh,
remember him?
Yeah.
And then this woman who was from like a family values council place. So anyway, Marion Barry says that he never smoked crack. It was a plot against him.
Oh, yeah. He's never has admitted to that. And that's something that there's proof. There is pictures.
Right.
Videotape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he says that they never proved what was in that pipe.
Oh, what else do you smoke in that? What else do you smoke
in
a crack pipe?
Yeah, so then Geraldo's like, well, so what did you think you were smoking? What did you think you bought? And then, anyway, so that
tobacco.
Was insane.
Could have been something else in that light bulb.
That was like that whole thing took a turn that I don't think anyone was expecting it to.
Yeah.
And then Gail Haggard said that her husband wasn't really homosexual.
Oh,
so that also took another turn. So I think that those four people didn't quite do what the producers were.
Well,
two of them didn't.
But also, Marion Barry who was the
crack smoker? Yeah.
But the part where he invited the hooker up to the room to just just chill that part he doesn't deny, right?
He didn't say she was a hooker, but he said that she had bought she brought some powder cocaine. That's evidently. It's rare that you hear people making the distinction by calling it powder cocaine.
He still he got reelected, right?
Like, yeah, he went back. Yeah, he was the mayor for a while longer.
Yeah, all right.
It worked for him.
We don't judge. He's fine.
Apparently not.
I didn't realize.
But don't you think? And this is maybe too lofty of a topic. But as our society keeps on going forward and everything is revealed, you cannot be this puritanical person that everybody wants you to be when you're running for office now. Like, there is dirt on every one of us at a certain level.
See, that's part of why I keep going back and forth about this, because I feel like Wiener's behavior, so many guys do that. It's not that unusual. Yeah. But I don't know why I'm kind of revolted by him.
Here's – I think this is what we're – I mean, this is a two-parter. One is – what they've done in their past. Like, we're now at the point where President Obama says, I smoked pot back in the day. And everyone just goes, yeah, all right, back in the day. Like, cool. So there's the back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're all pretty past the back in the day part, whatever you did in college, whatever drugs.
Right.
Even if you had a first marriage and went bad and you got caught, your cock in the cocky jar, you're fine. Well, it's the impulse control and the what we don't like. Here's what we don't like. We don't like being yanked around. It's weird. Right. Like this whole thing of like, well, we're not comfortable with gay people. No, we're not comfortable with people we think are gay who won't tell us they're gay. And then once they tell us they're gay, we don't care anymore.
Right.
Like Lance Bass. Like, we're uncomfortable with Lance Bass because we're like, isn't that guy gay? I swear he's gay. It's fucking me up. And then at a certain point, he goes, I'm gay. And then we all go, Oh, okay. And then we leave it alone. Like, it never comes up again. No one brings up Lance Bass's name anymore. Like, there's no, we're done. Okay, good. We've checked that box. We're moving forward now. So what fucks with us is kind of being, we don't like getting yanked around.
Lied to. Right.
And if a guy says, look, I fucked up, I'm sorry, and whatever, we'll move on from that. When he comes back for round two, that's what fucks us.
He should just have come out and said, hey, look, I have a problem with sexting, and I'm going to continue to do it, but I'm going to be a good mayor, and here's some...
Right.
Just you have it as part of your plan, like, and I will sext.
Right.
Just get it out there.
Yeah.
Strong on sexting.
By the way, I cut a PSA on sexting and driving that I'd like to share with not only you, but your children as well. I'm going to turn this fucking lemon into lemonade. It's like, hi, I'm Anthony Weiner, okay? Not Wiener, Weiner.
Anthony, can you stick to the strip, please? I mean, just this is about sexting. It's not really about your name. We can just say your name. People know who you are.
Oh.
Here we go.
Okay.
Take two.
I was just kind of – I just wanted the beats. Hi. I'm Anthony Weiner. And while you know my passion is sexting, I never, ever do it from behind the wheel. I'm always in the passenger seat while my wife drives. Oh, wait a minute. We should probably fix that.
That's good. We'll fix it in post.
I got one on autoerotic asphyxiation, too, if you want me to hit that, too.
No, Marion Barry's coming in next.
Okay. You can do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marion Barry about I don't do crack, only powder cocaine.
That's right. These are not streetwalkers. These are call girls. There is a difference, people.
Do you want to do that one?
The streetwalkers versus call girls?
Or the powder cocaine
powder
versus...
Powder cocaine versus crack.
I don't know that much. So,
you got to do a black voice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know. Now... Hi, I'm Mayor... I'm Mayor Marion Barry. I don't ever smoke crack in office. But when... I'm messing it up.
That's all right. That's what we have tape for, Mayor. Right.
I'll do one more time.
I mean, former mayor.
I'm having such a hard time because I never even smoked this crack, so I don't even know what this is about. But anyway, I'll do this ad. Crack cocaine is terrible. And that's why when I do a drug of choice, it'll be cocaine powder. Cocaine powder. The easier, nicer crack.
Marion?
Yeah.
From the booth?
Yeah.
Can we say powdered cocaine? Cocaine powder sounds like something you'd sprinkle over cereal or put in a drink.
Oh, yeah. All right. But, man, you want me to go by cocaine powder? All right. I just feel like I kind of wanted to make it. All right. Yeah, I'll do
powder cocaine.
Powder cocaine.
Yeah.
But that also sounds like powdered milk. So either way. All right.
Yeah, we got to go to lunch soon. So we could just
hold on 1 second. Okay. I'm ready to go now.
All right. We're done with the PSAs. What else we got?
One more thing. I just wonder why these... I can't think of one example of the wife of a disgraced politician leaving him close to when the scandal happens.
Mm.
Why do they stay?
I think... Well, first off, I think they... I think they think there's a chance at redemption for their husband. Like, I think part of it is a business decision.
Yeah.
Like... Hillary Clinton, for sure, and a lot of people are in a position where their husband is a business. I mean, this is a gig, you know, and you got bills and things like that. So I think some of it is a kind of a business decision. The other part is a weird sort of pressure to act like you're devoted when you're really pissed.
I also think there's an element of, like, shock involved. Like, it's the same reason why everyone signs those releases on prank shows. They're like, oh, what's going on? Okay, yeah, and they sign it right away. They're all of a sudden, like, this scandal's broke. They're on a stage. They're talking to people. They don't have a time to, like, go, like, wait, what is he doing?
Right.
Like, their life is not in a normal space for that moment.
Right.
Although... Maria Shriver got out quick with Schwarzenegger. She was like, he had that thing break, and then she was like, gone.
Yeah.
She was the only one who I think – but, I mean, that's been after years of Schwarzenegger.
They weren't already separated?
Oh.
Maybe –
well, maybe
if not,
she,
then
I thought she. I thought she pulled out like right when that thing got announced about the –
He should have pulled out.
She was like
– but maybe we can figure that out. Also – she may be privy to things that we're not privy to, I'm assuming, long before we're privy to them. So she may have found out about this if she did pull out 8 months ago or 8 months before the scandal. She may have known 8 months before the scandal.
radio personality David Kid Craddock died.
Oh,
a lot of people.
I've seen that guy. Christy before, was broken. He was in Dallas or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christy was broken up about. She used to live
yes.
in Dallas. She was like,
okay.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter have been really broken up over it. I was not familiar with him, but I feel like I'm in the minority here.
There's a lot of kids out there, but what happened to him?
He died at a charity golf event.
Ooh.
It was his charity, Kids Charity. The official cause of death has not come out, but people are saying that it was a brain aneurysm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, he was 53.
Well, imagine there are a lot of kids at that golf charity, too. Well, that would be a really frightening thing
right.
to see as a child.
And yet, many quotes saying he died doing what he loved.
I will charity say, golf. You know, in as far as the obit goes, you know, on top of the hooker when you had the heart attack is not quite as good as doing a kid's charity and trying to raise money for kids. So, God bless him. He's going to be missed by no, wait a minute. Where'd Christy live?
Christy lived for a year and a half or 2 years in Dallas. She worked out there. She worked out there, and she knew who this guy was. She like read it on Facebook. She's like, oh, my God, I love that guy. And he was a DJ out there.
Yeah, Kid Craddock in the morning. The show was heard on more than 75 top 40 and hot AC radio stations.
Maria Shriver's, by the way, lawyer, was hired before the scandal went public. So she was – but we don't know if she – you got to figure she knew something.
I mean, there was – I remember they did a whole like magazine one time devoted to – Schwarzenegger sex stories, like everyone who'd worked with him, and just like that he would just like, I mean, the one story I remember, I read it when I was a little kid, and it's burnt into my brain, is that some PA was trying to get him out of his trailer, and they opened the door, and he was going down on this girl, and he turned to them, and he said, "Eating's not cheating," and that was the the story. And then like the next month, like Linda Hamilton wrote this. That's another PSA.
Wow. You should do license plate frames.
And then Linda Hamilton the next month in like Premiere Magazine wrote like a huge article like, he's my friend and he's never like, he's not like this. But the whole magazine was just like 12, 15 different people going, oh, yeah, no, yep.
What? You know, I'm going to have to rethink my approach to this, but it's like there's a mayor in San Diego who's
Filner.
In a bunch of trouble for stuff. And it's a lot of like, well, we're having a meeting on property taxes, and then we had a follow-up meeting on parking and subterranean parking. But anyway, it was about 11 in the morning. He called me into the office before anyone else came in, and then he grabbed my boob. And I'm like, what's the batting average on you getting your dick sucked after that move? You know what I mean? Like,
if it is high,
please tell me. I just don't feel like there's a... I don't feel like there's a scenario where a chick could just come in, I could just start grabbing her ass, and she'd be like, oh, fuck, that feels so good.
What about
the thing? The way you grab my boob, especially in the morning, especially when you're 42 years older than me. Like, has that ever worked?
Well, that's what, it's so weird. Like, the Clarence Thomas thing, I mean, again, here's a Supreme Court judge. Like, didn't he say, like, oh, that's my pubic hair on your can of Coke? Like, is that going to turn anyone on? Like, that is not a turn on. Like, I want to see more of that pubic hair now. Like, what is that?
No, understand the.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Somebody's been working out. You really look great. And then there's, we're doing a charity dinner tonight. And if you want to come by and have a drink, you know, that, like, that I understand. Yeah. The, I'm just going to grab your titty real quick while we're standing in a hallway. What, is there ever part where she's like, oh, what about the other nipple? So lonely. So lonely. Misses your caress. Like,
makes no sense.
It's dudes.
Are they delusional? Like, do they think the women are just dying to be groped by them?
Everybody, and it's a big problem, I think. You, whatever it is you look at in life, you cannot take the fact that other people don't see it through your prism. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, hey, man, you ever been to that place Cut and had that Kobe beef? And you go, you've had that. And you're like, oh, my God, it's unbelievable. You can't fathom somebody going, not thanks, but no thanks. Like, not for me. And you do it with movies where you go, that was a fucking great movie, man. And the person goes, I didn't like it. And you go, what's wrong with it? So you're like, as a dude, I think your fantasy is just to be standing in some place of business and get yanked off by some chick, you know? Like you wouldn't do anything about it.
That's the fantasy.
So the notion of you then approach a woman like you would like to be approached. You know what I'm thinking about right now, don't you? Thank God my kids are here. It slows me down a little bit. No, but I'm saying it's like a lot of dudes take their sexuality and kind of graft it on to women. And I've always said women are like cats. Guys are like dogs. When men approach women sexually like, you know, a dog, what I do with my dog is I grab her two paws when she's standing there. My dog, Molly, she's laughing. I'll grab her two paws that are furthest away from me, pull them toward me and flip her on her back. Like a turtle.
Right.
And just then start, has sex with her.
Just fucking just pound the shit out of her. Yeah. Now, I'll just start playing bongos on her belly and rubbing her, you know, rubbing around. Like, and she loves it. But you can't do that shit with a cat.
Right.
The cat's gone. What do you do with the cat? The cat, you sort of put your hand down and the cat sniffs around a little. And then the cat sort of applies its own pressure. And then you sort of lean back a little toward the direction of. But what guys will do is they attack the woman like they think. They're getting yanked off.
But again, my gut is that was not the first time he has done it, though, right? Or like the first time he's ever been like what made that day then special? Like, I'm going to grab her boob. Like, what went on in that moment before?
I don't know what, again, I don't know what the batting average is. I don't know that there's ever been any success with the boob grab. Or just a general grope or the corner.
I think he like grabbed someone's head and tried to kiss her.
Yeah, or even like, I'm going to force your mouth down toward my groin or something. Like, batting average zero, unless if you're Schwarzenegger, there's an angle.
Well, I heard a great thing, from a friend of a friend, I heard this story of Bruce Willis's pickup line, which is amazing. He says to a woman, eating's not cheating. He goes, what are you doing for sex later? And that's his line.
Right.
And it's like, if that works, then you're in. If it doesn't, move on.
Right.
That's like, I mean, at least that, but I love anything that's that direct, which is.
Yeah, that's the putting the hard in the diehard guy, but that's the diehard guy. That's the guy who looks great in his wife beater, not the guy who abuses his wife.
Yeah. And that clip was from July of 2013. All right.
I still think Maxipat is better than that name.
I don't get it. I still don't get it. I never will.
All right. It's better than what Monica got.
All right. Let's get going with our next clip, and let's hear some more Toolbox. Now, it's evolved a few days. Let's see how Dawson's doing. This is also from October of 2017, just a few days later after that first clip.
Adam Carolla Show 2180, Adam Hutnick, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. It's more songs from the Toolbox. Adam tells a story being on the road with Mike August and some hilarious commentary provided in two separate instances. Overall, this one's gold. I hope you guys enjoy October of 2017.
Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share. I just got back from Nashville and the other place there.
Minneapolis.
Yeah. And hung out with all the couples and a father and son last night. Love that. Love that you share. Talked to all the people. Like, I got my dad into it. Now he's a bigger blah, blah, blah. Good to see you, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Too much honey will mess up your tummy.
I had a weird little sort of blah, blah, blah moment because when you're in loves, the whole world's delicious is all right. So let me try to unpack that.
Please.
Gary probably has the commercial. Do you have the commercial with the song? So I grew up in the Valley and I would see these commercials like, hey, I'm the skipper from Gilligan's Island. Come on out to my crab shack. And I would just watch these commercials and go, because my family's so horrible. I just go like, who could ever possibly afford this luxury? Like, who? Maybe, I guess, someone if they sold all their belongings and they were riddled with cancer and they had like one last meal. I didn't know that people just went to dinner and stuff. And even this place, it was off the 101 in like Reseda, and you could always see it off the 101 in the San Fernando Valley when you were coming from, like, I don't know, Reseda, Canoga Park, whatever, those White Oak, all the sort of West Valley stuff. And it'd be by the side of the freeway. It was basically like a notch and a half up from a Sizzler. It was called Love's, like Love's Steakhouse. It'd be the equivalent to going to an Outback with your family today. But because it had a sign and roofing and windows and stuff and a commercial, it was like, oh my God, who eats there? And it was one of the many places you just drive past. Just you know,
put
what?
Your hands up against the window.
I should have been transported like a porpoise, where they put the blinders on you and someone just keeps spritzing you with water, but you can't see things. You don't want to get agitated.
You wake up at the zoo.
I should have just climbed in the back of my mom's VW Squareback and put like I was being abducted by ISIS or something. And have someone just put blindfold on me and squirt me with water because it's hot in the San Fernando Valley.
Honey, don't forget your seatbelt, your pillowcase on your head.
Yeah, we just drive up and down like the 101. I go, look at that restaurant. Look at that. Look at that. And you see all the signs. Oh, look, there's an In-N-Out burger. What's that like? You know, this was when you're in Love's, the whole world's delicious. And it was a Love Steakhouse. Gary, I'm sure this is going to get screwed up somehow, but let's see it. And I'll tell you why.
Do you just want the song?
You can let me see the commercial. Well, I looked at this as really high end, upscale eating for like maybe a graduation or bar mitzvah or something. Yeah.
Love's all rib combination is for rib lovers. They start with super salad and hot bread, then add juicy, slow cooked beef ribs. Love's famous barbecued beans, corn on the cob covered in butter, then delicious short ribs, a baked potato with real sour cream, and to top everything off, tangy pork ribs.
Wow!
When you're in Love's, the world's delicious.
Now, my mom was in the kitchen yelling freak out, wearing a Billy Jack hat, and I had a freezer and fridge full of, like, 12 sprouted bread, you know, that you had to cut with a chainsaw.
I was like, not pun intended, how off the menu were ribs
strikes. Meat is murder.
Yeah.
Cost money, brought joy.
Yeah, tastes delicious.
Strike one, strike two, strike three, and you're out. Like, there was no ribs. Ribs were fun. A little bit expensive, super yummy.
Indicated a good time, celebration.
And indicated community.
Yeah. Oh, no, you were just basically, do we have to sit down and watch Billy Jack or Roots again to explain how ugly this is?
You shut holding up, I'll eat your sprouts.
Yes.
Was this before color correction? Because it didn't look that good.
It didn't matter. Like, it wasn't that good. It was just
ribs on TV.
Yeah.
So I remember the Super Bowl motocross is coming in town and they're having the drag races. Orange County International Raceway and all this stuff. And I just watch all these commercials, but there was no such attendance. Thing as ever going to anything or doing anything. And, I was in Nashville this morning.
Oh, wow. You had the bends.
And
the ribs everywhere.
Oh, did we eat some? Oh, I got to tell you, I'm gonna blow everyone's minds in a few seconds, but I woke up in Nashville. It's gonna be longer than that. But up at AV Ed's parents' house. Who does all the AV stuff here. His parents are from Nashville, and he's like, "Stay at our parents. My parents are out of town. Stay at their house." So we all stayed there. Went out and did the show in Nashville. It was great. The fans are great. Everything was great. Got done signing and got out of there at like 10:30, walked and walked and walked and went to a great barbecue place called Martin's. I'll tell you about that in a second. We're looking at a picture of their smoker.
The walls are stained with smoke.
When you lift up the big iron lid, there's a full pig splayed out inside of each one of these smokers we're looking at. But, they full pick me in August. Here's the point. I'm staying at his house, and we did the thing we always do, which is go out, do the show, sign the autographs, get out of there about 10:30, and then it's like, hey, we're in Nashville for another 11 hours or 7 hours or something like that. So we go do up the barbecue, and we do
late
it up.
Night.
And by the time we get back to the folks' house, it's about 12:30. And by the time we get into bed, it's about 1 and change. And Mike Lynch is coming with us to the airport. And
he's in charge of waking everybody up at 4:45. No, no, 5:45? No, 4:45. I can't even remember anymore. Either way, zero sleep. Yeah, I think it's 5:45. I think we had to be, yeah, that's it. All right, I got it. We had to be on the road. He's going to wake everyone up at 5:30. Sorry, went to bed at like 1:30. He's going to wake up at 5:30. We're going to be wheels up. I got another thing to complain about. Anyway, he, this morning, comes into my room at like 5:30 and shakes my leg, and when I pop up, in my head is "When you're in love, the whole world's delicious," which is an interesting
regional
thing.
Commercial, right? This is not a national chain.
I don't know how, Gary. You got to figure out how big and wide Love's ever got to.
Dreaming about it,
but I wasn't dreaming about it. It was a weird thing.
Later,
I wasn't dreaming about it. I was dreaming about something else. I know because when he hit my foot, I incorporated it into my dream for 2.5 right. seconds. I'm like, oh.
Why is this porn star shaking my foot?
Right. And then I got up and I went, you're in love, the whole world's... And so when Dawson just said it, it freaked me out because I didn't do the math.
that Lynch was there.
Lynch fed it to him, and I'm totally sleep-deprived, and we hit the road so early. It was dark and everything else. You know what I like? I'll tell you this. We were... this is all I'm looking for out of this, out of a nation. Really out of a nation. I've been listening to some lectures and guys talk and reasons why, like, Russia doesn't work. Russia's kind of failing. And why is Russia failing? Because it's corrupt. Mm. Like, all these places, these Central American countries, South America, parts of Mexico and stuff, when you're corrupt, nothing works. And the answer is, it's not that nothing works because you're corrupt. It's that nobody starts new businesses.
Nothing can.
Nobody, everyone goes, it's corrupt. I'm not starting a new business. Why should I open a restaurant and like bust my ass when I'm just going to end up having to pay everybody off? So it's not, you think of it as, well, it doesn't work because it's corrupt. It doesn't work because it's a system that prevents any entrepreneurship. Like no one's going, I'm going to Russia. Right. I'm hanging my shingle up. I'm going to El Salvador. I'm going to open that business. Like they don't want to do it because of the corruption, and that stymies everything. It's kind of an interesting thing, like what causes what. But anyway, we're sitting around, and we're in kind of in the sticks outside of Nashville, and we have a 7:05 flight this morning. We want to get to the airport at, 6:05 or whatever that is, and we're about 20 minutes out, and this is Sunday morning. So we're all sitting in A.V. Ed's house, me, Mike, and Mike, at like midnight going, do we call a cab at 5:30 in the morning? Or like, do we call an Uber at 5:30 in the morning? Or can we call somebody? How do we know the Uber guy's coming out to the sticks? Right. Like, we're down a road, and it's Sunday, and we're telling this guy to come here in the dark at 5:30 in the morning. What do we have to wait? What if they go, I'm an hour out, or what? No cabs coming for till 7, or whatever, we're going to miss our flight. And anyway, the Love theme song goes through my mind. Let's see. Suggests Love's were confined to Southern California. It must have got bought up, turned into
Dupars
or Sizzlers or something. But anyway, at 5:45, this dude and this new Honda, kind of rednecky, kind of Southern dude, pull up. He's the Uber guy. Just comes in. We all jump in. He's driving us to the airport. Friendly chap telling us he used to live in Van Nuys, California, and blah, blah, blah. Talk to him for a few minutes. And then I say, like, how's it work Sunday? I like getting up early, and I like seeing the sunrise. And which meant tweaker to me.
But haven't been asleep yet.
I was like, you weren't so fat. I think you were a tweaker, dude. So, and he's like, I go out and make the rounds. Yeah, I start about 4 a.m. this morning. I like the whatever. And I just thought to myself, this is the system I like. Mm-hmm. I don't like the system where the man gets involved and assigns badges to guys with dispatchers who don't go outside of this jurisdiction or won't do that or don't. I just want a dude. We got three dudes. we will pay you to take us to the airport. It's like kind of a fantasy you have that you've, like, you always, like, you just, like, there's a part of me sometimes that just, like, Mike August was, like, sitting in the seat behind me, and the kid was, like, sitting next to me, and I just thought, like, I wanted to say to the guy, I'll give you $50, just go sit in his seat, little less knee room, not in first class, but first, like, coach plus, you know. So I want to tell the kid plus next to me, like, I'll give you $50, just go sit there, and Michael comes in here, and then I want the kid to be able to go, I want $75, mm-hmm. or no, or fine, or whatever. Like, I love that. I want to live in that world. Like, right. I want to get to the airport.
I'd love to, but they don't.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah. I mean, we don't, because on the tickets printed, it's whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I just, he was driving this airport, and I think, I love Uber. Like, I love this world. I love this thing where we get to just go, hey, there's a dude in Nashville who wants to be up at 4 a.m. on Sunday driving people around in his Honda, then I will give that guy this much customers. Money, and he will take us to the airport. It's just a better world. Yes. Like, yeah. We should be all... And it's also, it's like, hey, that guy, this is unregulated. That guy could kill us all by the side of the river. And it's like, he could. So could the cab driver.
Yep.
So everybody who's licensed and bonded or whatever could do whatever, whenever, yep. Number one. But number two, the system kind of keeps things on track. He doesn't get paid if he takes us to the river and kills us. He wants to get paid. I'm assuming...
There goes rating.
I don't feel like we need, like... We don't need Big Brother to keep everyone in line. He wants to get paid. We want to get to the airport. I think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And has it ever really not worked? Like, that just general dynamic. Like, you want this. Right. I want that. I'll give you this. Oh, by the way, after I get to the airport, that's when you get paid, not before.
You'll take the infinitesimal chance that he's an axe-wielding psycho. Look, every aspect of your life, like
every place you go.
Every place you go, you take that infinitesimal chance that, okay, this person could murder me, but there's a very, very, very small chance.
I'll just make it to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
to get the flight.
We went out to a famous barbecue place called Martin's and had the best brisket I've ever had in my life.
Wow, you're declaring it the best?
The best wow. brisket. Everything was good, but the brisket just melted on your tongue.
Because this was Tennessee brisket, was it more tangy, vinegary? That's kind of their thing, right?
It had a dry rub, and it literally did not require sauce. And a high fat content, and just melted on your tongue. It was awesome. I went in the same day. I went to Polish food with Kramer Chucks in Minneapolis.
Wow!
At 10:30 in the morning,
little jet setter,
and then ate at Nashville that night. All I had to do was stuff in a 90-minute show.
How do you not have Crohn's disease? Like, no problems.
Give it to
goat stomach.
According to Wikipedia, he does.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I read that there once, or somebody told me that.
Years ago.
My stomach, I'd be in the hospital if I had Polish food and then flew and had barbecue at midnight.
I don't, I'm trying to think. Let's break this down. I don't have anything to do with my stomach. There's no way meat makes me feel or chocolate makes me feel. There's nothing that anything does to me. Ugh. Now, that being said, I can definitely feel the difference between having ribs and salad in terms of, you know, the roughage, kind of just a pure sort of biological, mechanical, whatever of it. But
no ailments come along
in terms of what stuff, like when people go like, oh, dude, eating the cheese, man, that's going to back you up. No, I can eat as much cheese I want. Or they go, oh, Mexican, man, you're going to be on the pile. Yeah. I have nothing. I never have.
Superpower.
But I also have no energy with anything. It's just give it to me. I'll eat it. I'll go to bed and I'll take a dump when I get up. Ed's parents' bed. Yes.
Take a dump there. You're basically just saying you're not Jewish.
Yes, I am. I have no. Here's my question. There obviously is some correlation between the head and the stomach. And there are, of course, there's legitimate people that are like, Natalia has an Asian friend that if she gets stung by a bee, will just go into anaphylactic shock. She's not faking it. It's not a head case. It's not psychosomatic. Also, she can't eat like soy or dairy or something. She'll start ballooning up. So, I mean, so if you kind of carve out the legitimate,
allergy.
Just can't. Yeah. Do this allergic to nuts and whatever breakout and hives. You carve that out. What percentage of people who say, like, oh, I can't eat, I'm going to bed in like 2 hours, I can't have a steak, you know, I'll be whatever, who making all the proclamations, are biologically different than me and Mike August? Or there's some sort of head space right. pushing They've this to something? Because Mike August, his dad's a football coach. That's all you need to know. He grew up in Louisiana and Denver. His dad coached football. He played football. And therefore, there's nothing he'll eat and go to bed. And he has no complaints. He has no anything. He never makes a – he'll never tell you how he's feeling. He'll never tell you he's tired. He doesn't have any I can't do this or I don't do that. There's no rules right. whatsoever. I don't either. That's why he's easy to travel with. But how much does the head play into the heart burn?
Well, I wonder if I think this is the same thing. But maybe you feel it. Everyone feels it to a degree. But everyone else is just way more sensitive to it. Like you're like, oh, I mean, like you said, I know I have a steak in me. But some people that is just too much to deal with. It's just way too sensitive to that.
Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy,
yes.
too? Like, you're like, I know this is going to do this to me, thus, when it happens, it's confirmed what I suspect will happen?
Well especially if you get nervous about it and
your stomach's all messed up. To a state.
It's also just years of being that way, or being the way Mike August is, which is whatever. Like, at the end of the bar, at the end of the... So, you know, you're sitting there, and it's 11:30 at night, and Mike is taking all the scraps from all the sides with the elbow macaroni and the coleslaw and the beans and everything and parts of chicken that weren't eaten and stuff, and he's just dumping it all on his plate, and he's spooning the whole thing into his mouth, and he's polishing everything off, and then I see him standing in Ed's parents' kitchen at 5:45 in the morning. He's just standing there. He's not like, oh, man, I overdid it. Or, oh, boy. He doesn't yawn. He doesn't blink. He doesn't eat a cup of coffee. He doesn't even do the, oh, God, Jesus Christ, man, that's a tight one. He just gets in the car and leaves.
I feel like
for him, it's a mindset.
That's great. I want to be more like that.
Yeah.
It's
all
good.
Aspire.
Yeah. Just, you can start.
Just be it.
No, I do it. But people say to me, don't shake my hand. I'm sick. Yeah, I go, put her there. And they go, don't shake my hand. I say, we're shaking.
Let go of my hand.
Stop rubbing it on your nutsack. So, getting that mindset. Hopefully it'll work. All right. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play. Dawson's going to talk up a song. Such a big hit, by the way, and people are so impressed. We're going to Dawson's toolbox now. Dawson, you're poised behind the microphone.
I'm ready,
and the song is going to be unveiled on you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what it is.
All right, who's going to drop that needle?
I'll drop the song. I chose this one because a lot of a request on Twitter, by the way, but also people wondering, is this in fact a tool too? I struggle with this one, so let's hear Dawson intro it.
As we kick off another set here in the toolbox, remember, weekday mornings, listen for the phrase that pays every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Then we're going to call you. If we call you up and you give us the phrase that pays, you're going to win $100, my friends. That's right. I hate this song.
This song is such a tool tune.
It is a tool tune.
Of course.
It straddles the line between tool tune and guilty pleasure.
Oh, Dawson's pissed. He doesn't know this song.
This song sucks, but it's also
But I've had the incredible fortune of never having to play it on the radio.
Oh, lucky you.
Dawson would never go near this.
Is this the Escape Club?
It is. Oh, don't act like you don't know.
This is this song we were talking about in the hallway, which even makes it more double down confusing, right?
I don't know. Dawson's disgusted.
Should we go again?
You didn't think you were getting this song?
I thought I wasn't supposed to know what the song was, so I didn't think there was a way that that one would come up because we had just spoken about it. But
which is why I thought it was a clever choice, but Adam brought it up off the air.
A lot of confusion around this song.
I'm disappointed
in
myself.
All right, well, pick another tool tune. You'll get back on that horse. Let's get another tool tune. Can I tell you, what year did that song come down? Well, you can just pick out. Now, why don't we do this, Brian? Mm-hmm. Let's give Dawson like a mercy fuck here and get his confidence back.
Okay,
you know, you pick something from something that Dawson, that you know he would have spun quite a few times as a DJ. Okay. And can I tell you, Gary, what year did that Wild Wild West song? Because I remember exactly where I was, not the first time I heard that song, but when that song was super popular. Like, I was driving in my Nissan pickup truck back from Canoga Park, where I worked at Tom Johnson's he had a cabinet shop, and I was living in like North Hollywood, and I had no air conditioning, like a bench seat and everything. And I was just, I'd work in his cabinet shop, or we'd work building in Canoga Park like all day, and then get in this pile of shit pickup truck and drive on the 118 back to the San Fernando Valley. It must have been like 85, 6, 88. Oh, 88. See, where is he? Yeah, I was driving back and that song came on and it was a Friday and I was sort of in a good mood because when you work blue collar, like Friday is always good mood. Like
right.
After work Friday, it's like the best mood you'll ever be. It's like 5:30 on Friday. It starts to wane as you get toward the Monday morning. But I remember hearing that song and I remember thinking, I didn't think Tool tune. I just went, this song's retarded, but I'm not turning it off.
Don't you
listen to songs, getting songs ready.
Don't you get Escape Club and Go West and Fine Young Cannibals mixed up?
Well, Go West should have done this song.
Yeah, Wild Wild West. That would have been very appropriate.
All right, do you have one that Dawson can talk up?
Are you ready, Dawson?
Yeah. We're inside the toolbox, my friends. Welcome to another set, commercial free for about 40 minutes. Hanging out in the toolbox with you, my name is Dawson, and coming up at 4 o'clock, remember, it's the 4 o'clock foreplay, where I'm going to give you four songs.
New York is everything they say.
Again, I'm disappointed in myself.
Wait, right. We're going to spend the rest of our lives chasing that dragon, Dawson, because that was perfection, so don't be that hard on yourself.
I felt like it worked out fine, but it was a little premature.
But that's what I mean. The first time you did it the other day, perfection.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, here's the problem. We don't have classic rock in the Tool Tune department.
Are you kidding?
There's some bleed over.
All right, well,
not Led Zeppelin or something.
Well, right. See if you can get...
Hold on, Brian. I'll give you a list.
Did you spin that Huey Lewis song many times?
On my most recent station, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I should have gotten that one.
All right.
But that, I believe, is a radio edit.
It starts off...
Because there is a much longer intro to that song. That song has about a minute and a half in front of it.
All right, let's throw him some... See if you can go classic rock Tool Tune.
Welcome to another set, commercial free, right here in the toolbox, my friends. Here's a duo that can sometimes be mistaken for a breakfast cereal. That's right, Hall and Oat brand. Daryl Hall used to have a fantasy and a fascination with the occult, my friends. Did you know that he believed that Aleister Crowley was very much like him in his younger life? Saxophone, a good thing here on the toolbox. One of the most underused instruments. Let's see how it go with Daryl Hall and John Oates. What's happening, folks?
There he is. He's back, everybody.
He's back.
By the way, Brian, you know I love you. You're one of the smartest people I know. I'm not sure.
Right,
you know what a classic rock song is.
No, I absolutely know a classic rock song, but there's not a lot of classic rock Tool tunes.
I'll email you a list.
Okay. All right. What?
I said, I don't think there's classic rock Tool tunes, and you said, there's some crossover.
There's a little bleep over, but it's going to be hard to sort of, you know, even think of like Led Zeppelin and the Who and the Beatles and the Stones.
I'll help you out. I listen to it every day.
Okay.
There are a few Stones Tool tunes.
Oh, yes, there are.
Oh, really?
My God.
Oh.
Everything from Heart in the 1980s is a Tool tune.
Absolutely. Jefferson Airplane.
Not a Tool tune.
What?
No, just a bad song.
Working on another set of the hits here inside the toolbox. Time for a little falsetto mix. Mick Jagger way up high. Squeeze him for me, baby.
Uh-oh.
We're going to take the ninth caller right now for a pair of tickets.
You guys got to watch Dawson move. That's the best part.
Yeah.
All right, Dawson.
I'll take it up for now.
No, here's what I want.
All right.
I want you to... I don't know why you have to guess what song. It's too difficult. You tell Gary two songs that you would like to talk up, that you know well, that you feel... This is me buying my son a whore on his 16th birthday. Like, I want his confidence. He's never going to the prom. I'm tired of him beating off. It's costing me the full water bill's going through the roof.
What are you talking about?
You tell tell Gary what you want. You tell. I want the song that you've picked out to do this. You want to try one, Dawson? You got one?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, let's do this.
Gary's pulling it up. Still incredibly disappointed in myself.
No, no. Not after this. Not after this.
It's like cornerback. You have a short memory.
Yeah, you got to have a short memory out there on Dawson Island. All right. We could have never foreseen this coming.
Welcome to the Toolbox, my friends. We're kicking off another set commercial free. On the station that pays you to listen with the phrase that pays every weekday morning. Right now it's the Wilson Sisters. As we continue.
I've been lonely.
Nice.
Solid.
You know what you did there? You choked up, you made contact, and you just legged out a single. It was not an error. You choked up, you made contact. You were in a slump. You were swinging some bad pitches.
Choke up.
You weren't taking good looks up there. And it's... I think moving you from the four slot to the eight slot probably took some of the pressure off you. And you just slid up that bat a little. And you just did it like a good Chinese gal playing softball. Just boom. You started running to first before you finished a swing.
Thanks, boss.
I like that, man. And you got a little Texas leaguer. And now you're standing on first. A couple more of those drag bunts. We're going to slide down that bat, grab some Pantar. See if we can light up that scoreboard, yeah? This heart, is a Tool tune.
Heart dove in deep into the deep end of the Tool tune pool in the 80s.
It's one of my favorite songs ever.
I got to tell you, I love some of these heart 80s songs. Oh,
I got a similar one. If you want to try it again, I think I got one. That actually came up on Twitter again. Someone said, how about this? I'm like, this whole band's catalog is just Tool tune perfect. So, Dawson, you ready? You've done this one before.
So remember today, my friends, coming up at 6 p.m., we got another hour commercial-free to get you home. Right now, somebody got a synthesizer for Christmas. That's right, friends.
Somebody got a synthesizer.
The pitcher didn't have to underhand it to first base. He chose to throw over the top. Huh? Five?
It's apropos of what we're talking about.
All right.
Oh.
Hey, Corey, 31, Alabama.
Hey, how's it going, Ace?
Mm-hmm.
Bald.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I love the podcast. I've been listening for a while now. I got to say, of all the ones I listen to, this is the only one I constantly wish I could be sitting in and be part of the conversation.
Well,
now's your chance.
Give Mike August 10 grand. Come out here. Give your company a plug. Thanks, Corey. I love that. I love seeing everybody when we travel, and I love how people know everybody. And, you know, it's when they catch me off guard every once in a while. I go, how's Sonny doing or something? I go, how are you?
Like,
oh, come on. I'm a fan. So thanks, Corey. What do you do in Alabama?
I'm a machinist.
Yeah. What do you get an hour for? What stuff are you working on first?
Well, the company I work for, we make high pressure fittings. Most of our products we use are used on oil rigs.
I like that.
I love getting steak with all the fittings.
Fittings and oil.
Yep. Supporting the oil industry. And you making a decent living for your family?
I've been there about 3 years and worked my way up to about $18.50 an hour.
The machining. The guys who can weld and machine and do that stuff, fabricate, always in demand. Like, just always, always busy. Like, just like a good straight-ahead carpenter. Just always going to be working. All right, you got a Tool tune for us, Corey?
Yeah, I wanted to see what you guys thought about the song Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
I got to hear it to remember.
Oh, please. Corey, did you tweet me this weekend?
I might have tweeted somebody.
Because someone asked specifically about this song, and... this is the song when this comes on the radio. I'm like, this friggin' song again.
Oh, the don't by, want
by
the
3
world
minutes, to, by yeah. 3 minutes in, I'm like, and I don't want the world.
Yeah.
To
see
well, the reason
it's
I asked,
I don't. We gotta start We got to start a second category, which is like self-important songs.
Sanctimonious.
Oh, this is
Sanctimonious.
Like the Tears for Fears songs where they start with, you know, and they start talking about, like Tears for Fears has a bunch of sanctimonious self-important songs. It's Aware of Themselves song. And I don't want the
world to see. You put your lighter away.
Why is this song called Iris?
You wrote about a girl in Iris.
Yeah, it's tough.
I wrote for the movie City of Angels. Not Wow. I just want
you to know who I am. All right, let's take a vote. Dawson, Tool Tune?
Yeah, it's a really good song, but you'd want to roll up the windows.
I'm trying to think.
You keep those windows down forever?
No, it's a good song. I don't like it, but it's a good song because I just feel like I don't like it. It's like there's nothing better than like when a five-year-old comes in on Thanksgiving and all the folks are sitting around the table having a drink and they say something ironic and funny and the entire table busts up laughing and it's so great. And then the same kid comes back 2 minutes later for like a second helping of comedy and it's like now you know they're aware of them. Like
the magic's gone.
You know what they're doing now?
There's a whole Simpsons episode about that.
Is there?
Like Bart had a catchphrase, became famous for it. He started going to talk shows, and people got tired of it after a while.
Yeah, I feel once the kid's aware, the whole naivete part, I don't know why, but when I hear a song where I feel like someone's like, this is going to be good, I get that feeling.
You know the song that just popped into my mind? Like that sanctimonious, Runaway Train.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going that category?
Good song, same thing, yeah. Like, I want to sit down and write something important. I don't know why. It doesn't really fit Tool Tune, but I wouldn't argue with someone who said it was.
I'll let the song answer for me. And I don't want
to see me. Ryan says yes. Gina, what do you got?
This is 100% windows go up, and I would not turn it off.
Well, Tool Tune. That's Tool Tune. All right, I'm outvoted. All right, Corey, it's a Tool Tune.
Okay, well, because the reason I ask is because I was driving down the road yesterday, and I pulled up to a red light behind a guy on a big cruiser motorcycle with one of those really loud sound systems blaring this song.
This song? Off a motorcycle? That's brazen.
In Alabama.
Wow.
Those have to be loud so you can hear it going down the road.
In Alabama?
Back and forth.
You get dragged behind a truck for that.
We're better than people think down here.
I know.
What do you mean, you people?
One of Mike's. Mike's great. And I don't
want the world to see you would come down here and do a show.
Oh, yes. Birmingham show.
Thank you, Corey. Noted. Sit next to Mike August with a couple of like local gals, Ed's high school friends. Mm-hmm. And Mike had to keep making these lynching jokes. Like, I know you guys are famous for lynching down here. And the person who had a lot of civic pride was not.
Oh man!
You know the 40. Oh, no. You know the 40-year-old chick who doesn't know how to process humor.
Was Mike joking?
Yes, Mike was joking. Mike was joking, and the chick just kept going. We don't do that. We never have, you know. And Mike was like, "Yeah, I know. You got tired from lynching, so you took a break, you know." And they're like, "We do not. We don't. Like you could, you know the, you know your." You know, it's like your wife's friend who doesn't have a sense of humor. When you're a kid, it was your mom's friend who didn't have a sense of humor. And they, even if it didn't matter what you said, they'd go like, I know you're kidding, but you need to stop saying
that's
like,
not funny.
Who that person was that needed you to stop saying something. I don't know why you need, who is that person that needs to tell that person they have to stop? But she had a lot of civic pride, you know?
Yeah.
And Mike, like, in between, you know, every, like, rib and a half, he'd go back and revisit lynching.
Yeah, isn't the onus kind of on both of them on this one?
I was just like, would you shut up and let me enjoy my goddamn barbecue here, Mike, and stop getting in being a bee in her bonnet? He's sitting right next to you. Couldn't stop bringing it up. Yes, like, who... She could have known he was screwing around, but I think she probably feels like we're from California and she's a little sensitive and she doesn't want us all think that that's what they do over, that's their history or, you know, where things are a little sensitive right now. He could have just shut up to keep visiting that. The, slightly more comfortable, I must say, than the time we went out to lunch with Jimmy's friend, Gary, who's a radio consultant and has been doing it for 30 years. We're about the third time Mike said this sentence: terrestrial radio is dead. It's dead. Like, at a certain point, I had to stop and go, Mike, that's what he does for a living. He consults radio stations. So please, this is getting, we're not, wait, I can't enjoy my kebabs right. if you keep saying that out loud to the person who just said it. And by the way, if he owns a chain of dry cleaners and you keep yelling dry cleaning is dead, I would say the same thing. Or had a broasting joint and you said nobody eats chicken anymore. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
I believe I got that statement instead of congratulations when I got my morning show job. From Mike August. In the car.
Instead
with
of
you.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Terrestrial radio's dead. Enjoy your new gig.
And who doesn't love a good Mike August story? Because it is one of my favorite things. I love him.
I know. It's great. It's the best gift you get for dealing with August, as August is aware, you'll say this about him, and Adam says all the time, is then being able to recount instances of something that happened with August. And also, when you do that and he's present, he gets a smirk. He enjoys you doing that.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Like,
he likes that you do
the beauty
that. And then sometimes
Mike
he'll
August.
Correct details about a certain thing he did that other people find off-putting. He wants to make sure you get it for the record correct.
I know. One of my favorite calls I get from Adam, which I... shit you not, I got one this morning. It was a call where Adam will start with, I got a Mike August story for you.
Okay,
you're not going to believe what Mike did. So, yeah, you got to listen to Adam and Drew's show. I don't want to step on it, but it's long. It's long. But, yeah, check out the Adam and Drew show because Adam definitely goes on a 30-minute rant on it. Well, at least that's what it felt like. All right, let's get going with our final clip of the day. And it's from 2016. We're going to hear from Adam and his thoughts on Gwyneth Paltrow.
Adam Carolla Show, 1825, Greg Fitzsimmons, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. Whenever Greg's in studio, the topic of hypothetical sexual relationships seems to come up. Much like the origins of women who'd be humiliated or horrified to sleep with Adam, this is kind of one of the earliest stages of that. It's Adam's hypothetical affair with Gwyneth Paltrow. My favorite part is him checking in the middle of it, like stopping at her juice bar to rehydrate.
Oh my god!
Like going through the Goop catalog. It's Adam Carolla Show, 1825, May of 2016. Hope you guys enjoy.
So, speaking of these guys, I don't know if you saw the interview, but Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly and presidential candidate Donald Trump have been feuding for, I think, 9 months now about, ever since Kelly asked Trump during the first televised Republican presidential debate of this campaign season about offensive statements he's made toward women. Well, Tuesday night, when Fox broadcast Kelly's interview with Trump, there seemed to be a truce. There was no new information. They were both fairly pleasant to each other. Trump didn't actually apologize for anything he's done or said, and Kelly didn't push him too hard, but there was a moment where Trump actually looked a little sheepish after Kelly held his feet to the fire about some of his tweets.
And I have fans, you probably learned, and I didn't do this for this reason, but when you and I were having our little difficulty, you probably had some pretty nasty tweets sent your way. I don't want to say, but I've heard that. I don't want that to happen, but I have fans, they really love... We have an unbelievable bond. We have an unbelievable
relationship. You retweet some of those. It's not just the fans.
Yeah, but not the more nasty ones. You would be amazed at the ones I don't retweet.
Bimbo?
Well, there was a retweet, yeah.
Did I say that? Many times.
Ooh, okay. Excuse me.
I would still argue Bimbo is not...
What do you think?
It gets worse.
The most horrible thing. You know,
that's
we get
what I'm saying.
Not the most. Over your life, Megan, you've been called a lot worse. Is that right? Wouldn't you say?
You know,
you've had a life that's not been that easy. And
it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about
That's not how you apologize.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you don't insult someone on the curve. There's a lot of worse things I could say.
You know your life. You've been called everything.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. If they could drop a mic into that boy's locker room. Jesus Christ.
But That's the first time I've ever seen him with that sheepish look on his face, like, you caught me.
Right?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
He's also dressing more presidential. Do you notice just the time? Just the color palette.
Not the monochromatic.
I don't know why, but that struck me as just a little more presidential than monochromatic.
Isn't he always in a suit and tie?
He's always in a suit and tie, but this suit and tie was a little more. There's a million suit and tie combos. This was a little more subdued. He dresses subdued. He dresses not flamboyantly, but this struck me as this is as presidential as he's got. He's got
less
the lapel
opulent
thing going. He's got
the American flag.
Struck me as very presidential. Also, Megyn Kelly, I want to say this to all chicks who cut their hair short. Like, you can't make yourself hotter by cutting your hair short.
It's an obsession. They have to. You know what it is? Is gay guys cut hair, and women come in that are beautiful, and they just go, "I have this amazing vision," and it's like, "You're gay. Get a fucking dude who loves hot chicks to come in.
That's right.
And you cut the hair.
Right.
You trim the bush.
That's right.
You massage her with a hidden camera.
That's right. Where's Jose Ebear when we need him?
Like what that man did to poor Marcia Clark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she is piping hot, but with the hair down to the shoulders is smoking piping hot.
Do you think that was the strategy? It's I'm already hot, but I'm a journalist. I want to be taken seriously.
Yes.
The hair's got to go.
It's I'm a 10 with a clipboard, and I'm not being taken seriously. Mm. So if I lower myself to a 9.5,
then
I can
listen.
Get some credibility.
That I deserve.
Right.
And I'm still above a 9, so who cares?
Yeah. She got ripped.
I might put her on my list, maybe even above Natalie Portman and Scarlett Johansson.
Whoa.
Of women who would be disgusted at the notion of having sex with me. Like, if you're Fitzdog, you're with me on this one. Like,
absolutely.
It's not enough to just go, well, that chick's beautiful. You want them to actually vomit halfway into the lovemaking.
When you see a guy in a Ferrari pull up to the Palm, and then the valet opens up the passenger door, and some 10 steps out, and then you see the guy driving it. He hasn't even combed his hair, brushed his teeth. He's like, no, I want you to be with me no matter how vile I'm going to be worse just to prove a point.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we couldn't do certain positions like doggy because she would vomit.
Yeah.
She would literally would just come flying out of her mouth.
Have to be a reverse cowgirl.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have to, and she'd have to have a trash can nearby.
Look at your feet.
I'm trying to think. Who...
It's all she'd have a view of.
Would it be Megyn Kelly? Would it be Natalie Portman? Would it be Scarlett Johansson? Who would be more appalled?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
No, Angelina Jolie would be politically, physically.
But she might do it on a goof. Like, she might just do it because she's nuts. You know what I mean? I mean, she'd be unhappy. Don't get me wrong. But I'd be like, baby, you're about to adopt some jizz. Where's that tad of Billy Bob Thornton? Let's see if I can hit it. She's nuts enough, and she's had enough craziness in her life. I feel like she's up there on my list. Don't get me wrong, but I just feel like Natalie Portman would never stop throwing up.
Something tells me that if you could even get through it with a little humor, Natalie Portman would be the least humorous about it. She does not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to be there.
Okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow would be repulsed by you.
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow she'd be ruined.
Yeah.
With a goop.
She might kill herself. It's like, what happened? She showered to death. Really?
She loofed herself.
That's a thing.
She flayed herself with a loofah.
She got high and felt like Whitney Houston. She was in the shower. No, we found her standing up.
14 days.
She literally just loofed herself. Yeah, she just scrubbed herself to death.
Yeah, she was just wrapped around the drain, curled around the drain.
Yeah.
We checked the water meter. Been going for like 32 straight hours.
No, she didn't drown. No, you're not hearing me.
Yeah,
she showered to death.
She gargled until her larynx had disappeared.
Yeah, you didn't think it was possible.
Must have been the ATM.
Yeah, well, they think she inhaled some Purell, because what she did is she sealed off her glass shower and filled it with Purell, and then ran the hottest water she could and became vaporized. Yep. And she and I think she got lightheaded from breathing in Purell. She also choked on a loofah when she was attempting to do a bottle brush maneuver, she calls it, on her vagina and mouth at the same time. Yeah, so that's how Gwyneth Paltrow died.
The Clorox enema really opened up a lot of the innards.
The bug bomb.
We found a Costco receipt for 150 loofahs.
We saw her on security surveillance camera earlier in the day arguing with the dentist about climbing into a centrifuge and autoclave and being actually where they put dental instruments and heat them to 500 degrees to sterilize them. She was putting her head into one of those things, but the dentist was struggling with her. Yeah. Then she went home, and it was some hours later we found her. Then I'd be brought up on manslaughter charges, and I'd be like, only crime I'm guilty of is loving too much, Your Honor.
And this is not even making love to her. This is just forcing her to fantasize about you while she masturbated.
Yes, that's right. Wow, that wasn't even there.
It would be,
like
right.
being shot with an ice bullet.
Yeah.
Nothing left behind.
No evidence.
No evidence.
Shot with an ice bullet. I never heard that.
Oh, it melts.
There's nothing. Melts. Good luck proving it.
Bring that to the lab. Why don't you bring a few tears with you as well? They're both liquid. All right, so who do we have? Gwyneth Paltrow?
I think she's in the lead, yeah.
Yeah.
Angelina's way off for this competition.
All right, so let's rank them.
She hates her dad, so there could be some energy there with someone she doesn't like.
Right.
So there's ScarJo, there's Natalie Portman, there's Gwyneth Paltrow, and there's Megyn Kelly.
Wait a minute, coming from the outside, it's Ellen DeGeneres!
Wow, that's a real wild card.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we can lose Megyn Kelly, I think, from that list.
All right. And now, so what we're basically saying is although Megan Fox is super hot.
Megan Fox?
Megyn Kelly?
Megan Fox.
Oh, you said Megan Fox. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Here's what I'm saying. Okay. Although Megan Fox is super hot, she wouldn't be as nauseated.
Right.
Having sex with me.
Right,
people are sort of curious how this one's not like who's hotter.
Right. Kind
of
who's
more nauseated? Kate, what's her name?
Beckinsale.
Winslet?
No, who's the one with the nice jugs? Kate Upton. Kate Upton is hot, but she would not be.
Kate Beckinsale's hot and might be disgusted.
Right, but Kate Upton
is hot, but she wouldn't be
nearly as disgusted.
No, turn the lights off, she'll ride it like a jockey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or as Gina knows her, old A cups.
Hey, bee stings.
Yeah.
Who, Kate Upton?
Yeah, that's just Gina's name for her. No one else calls her that.
Hey there, mosquito bites.
Yeah.
Making the wall jealous.
What's it like jogging without a bra? That must be awesome.
Oh, right. Oh, look, it's a meeting of the itty-bitty titty.
All right, so, wait, what's our order one more time?
Well, we're still the finalists.
Well, I think Gwyneth is at number one.
Gwyneth's
right? She
at number
slid
one.
Slid into one. Then, I think Natalie Portman would be second.
Mm.
And then it's between Megyn Kelly and Scarlett Johansson.
You know what I'd do with Gwyneth just to really turn the knife?
Drive it home.
I'd eat like a sloppy Joe.
Oh, God.
Before I got down with her, I was like, hold on, I do a sloppy Joe with a Mr. Pibb. Just to kind of carb load before I go in, so I can go all night.
All right.
And she'd just be watching the stuff dribbling down my chin, and she'd be like, I just had a $4,000 smoothie for breakfast. I'd be like, well, this ain't that.
And you're like, don't worry, I picked the onions out.
Yeah, you're familiar with Hungry Man?
The one vegetable.
It's in its can, but it don't taste canned. It tastes like it comes in a bottle. And the key is you don't go lean ground beef. You go like 22% fat chub pack, man. That's where the flavor is, sister. And then I do that thing where I take the sandwich, but my mouth is full, and I go, like I can't say, would you like a bite? Because I'm chewing. Like,
I'm good.
And I do like your loss kind of move. Like, all right, more for me. That's it.
You put your sloppy Joe fingers in her mouth to try to suck the juice off.
And I drag it down her. It makes her a little tomato sauce stripe down her cheek. Shh. Don't talk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But why are you skipping rope? Foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And then we put on some Coldplay music and we go to town.
Oh.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Where were we?
Are we still trying to figure out the list?
I'm past it. I'll put Gwyneth at the top. Yeah. I'm going to be like, I'm going to consciously couple my cock with your pussy. a little twist on her divorce with Chris from Coldplay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that clip from 2016, Adam's hypothetical affair with the Gwyneth Paltrow.
More likely possible partner than Harvey Weinstein, who was obsessed with her. Just saying, yeah. he's got better odds.
Yeah, I think so too.
Brad Pitt will not intervene and try to beat him up.
Good to know. That gives him a little bit of protection then.
It does.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode of Corolla Classics, but please subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed to get our special Sunday episode that we release every week, and we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.